Hello and welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, the podcast that's funny for everyone, where you get to hang out with some of your favorite Dry Bar comedians. You have your two hosts with you. It's me, Jordan Macon.
And it's me, Taylor Nielsen. Wearing the shorts today, Jordan.
Shorts,
for the first
man.
Time.
I'm not confident enough to show my legs on.
I'm not sure if I am either. This is a bold move.
No,
we'll see about the repercussions.
My legs are shockingly white. As a redhead that doesn't go in the sun, and the legs are always covered, it would be shocking.
For safety reasons.
For safety reasons. It's not good for people's eyes. It burns into retinas and stuff like that. So,
well, I'm excited today, Jordan, because we've got a return guest.
We love having return guests.
And what a return guest it is. Let's jump to the clip and see who it is. AJ?
Hey, let's do it. T.
Generation X, we are the latchkey kids that were raised by the boomer parents. We sat in the way, way back seat of our mom's station wagon, rear facing at the people behind us. Just waving, you know, just waving. Nobody wore a seatbelt, not even in the front seat. If your mom's arm wasn't strong enough, you deserve to go through the windshield.
Okay, well, you guys know who it is. You probably knew all along. It's the inimitable Karen Morgan.
Hey, Karen. I've returned.
Yes, in person this
time.
No, I'm happy to be here in person. It's kind of cool to do it on a Zoom, but at the same time, this is more fun.
This is more fun. You were a fun Zoom guest, though. Sometimes Zoom is hard. Just to like fill a connection. But
it's hard. Yes, it is.
We were all vibing from the beginning on your episode.
Yeah,
right, everybody?
I was feeling that way. Yeah, you were zooming in. That was a few months ago. So it's probably winter in Maine, was it?
It was winter in Maine. Now it's summer in Maine. So it means it's almost 70 degrees. So
Wow. And you're in Utah. So it's summer in Utah and it's 120? It's outside, it's close.
It's hot here.
It's pretty brutal.
It's a dry heat, though.
Yeah, which is better or worse than it?
It's a little bit. We were talking about going to Las Vegas. It's like an oven. This is not quite Las Vegas oven temperature scariness yet, but when I was out there, it was like an oven, and I really worried about the people if the power grids go down. It's people are bacon at that point.
Yeah.
So.
I would not want to be at a slot machine and have all the power go out.
But don't you think you'd be able to like bust open the machine, grab all the quarters out or something?
It's all hot. We can get it now.
Yeah.
Rate it for the poker chips. That'd be awesome.
That would be scary.
Yeah.
Well, you're here in Utah, and you've told us some reasons why you're in Utah, but I think I know the real reason you're here. Last episode.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if you remember this, but Taylor told you about this mall where you could go dress up as an orc.
Oh, that's right. my God, I forgot.
I forgot about that, too.
Well, we're leaving here after this. We're all going.
I just want to make sure when we go hit that up while you're in town.
I forgot. Oh, we're going.
I hope. And I haven't heard an update since I brought that up on the last podcast. I hope they're still doing it.
Oh, we're going to be disappointed.
Is it like every day or is it just like Orc Day? Like just like one day?
It's February 23rd, which is Orc Day.
Orc Day.
No, I don't know. I don't know when they do it. I imagine it's a weekends thing, kind of like a farmer's market for strange people.
Farmer's market.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Here, try my cheese. Now,
there's probably a fair amount of overlap between the two.
I forgot. We're gonna go. I'm coming back. Let me know. I'm coming back.
we'll do the next episode
live from Orc Day.
So you are in town for family.
A family friend's wedding. But my son lived out here for many winters. He's not now, but his friends are still out here. So it's a gorgeous place out here. I love it. It's very different from Georgia where I grew up, super different from Maine where I live now. So to me, coming out here, it's like being on the moon. I'm not even kidding. Like I was driving down the canyon today going, God, I can see all the way over there. I feel like I'm on the moon.
Yeah.
I do.
So wait, go over some of the big differences that makes it feel moonlight.
Because there's no trees. Well, there's no trees like in your way. Like
it, yes.
There's hills and stuff in Georgia and Maine, but the trees are kind of in the way. So you don't know that just over that hill is 1,000 feet drop. Like it's just, it's rocky and brown.
That's
and,
true.
Yeah, it's cool. But it's very different for me.
Yeah.
Just yeah. the distance yeah. you can yeah. see.
Yeah. Well, I think the more south you go, southern Utah, it becomes even more moon-like.
Yeah.
Down
yeah,
there,
yeah,
Red yeah. Rock and stuff, it's yeah. like a whole other yeah. world. So it's cool to be so close
I
to
I think it's
that.
More Mars.
I'm no Neptune. Scientist, all right?
It's Neptune. That was, but I saw a bunch of people, apparently there's a bunch of people, very fitness area, so people run their mountain bikes and their bikes,
yeah.
and they were going up this hill that I could barely drive up, and I'm like, just masochistic people. I don't know why you need a hill that big, but okay.
Especially when it's hot. That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. Jordan is a mountain biker a little bit, I think.
Only in video games. No, my balance is terrible. My parents only let me have one sleepover as a kid.
Oh.
My parents were weird. My parents' generation, my parents are great, but they weren't very strict, but it was like, sleepovers were like a really weird thing in my house. Like, we don't do those. And I finally got permission to do one. And I went to my friend's house, and he had all these, they had little, I don't know if they're dirt bikes, just bikes, but there was a field with a bunch of hills on it. And they only had like his little sister's bike for me, so it was very small. And I wasn't very good at biking anyway. And they're like, Jordan, go up this hill and come down on it. And it was so big that my legs were sticking out like this. And I was like, I can do this. They were all having fun. And I went down and I immediately broke my arm. And that was the only sleep. And so I didn't even get to have the sleepover.
No more sleepovers. End of sleepovers.
My parents were like, we knew it.
Yeah.
We knew it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a villain origin story.
Yeah. Well, just wait.
It was the little girl's bike with the basket. And then you couldn't turn into a villain character that rides the little girl.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you take what you fear most yeah. and weaponize
it's
it like
Basket
Batman.
Man.
Yeah.
So that's my biking experience.
Did we talk about sleepovers last time you were here?
I think we mentioned something about it, but my kids didn't have sleepovers, not because I wouldn't let them, because I didn't want to have to clean up after all those people came over.
Sure. So they could sleep, yeah. but they needed
you
to
sleep,
do it somewhere.
Go somewhere else. But if, as a parent, sleepovers are kind of awful because the kids come home, they're tired and they're cranky and they're mean to each other and they're mean to you. It's like, it's yeah. almost not worth it. So.
Yeah, they've been living pretty much in the purge for like a night, and they yeah. come back into yeah. civilization.
And now they got to behave. So.
I don't want to follow those rules.
Yeah. The purge. You're having wild sleepovers.
I actually didn't do any really when I was younger either. Yeah.
That was that was a lack of friends thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you weren't invited or just because kidding. Your mom didn't want you to go.
Yeah. It was maybe a mix of both, but mostly my parents, I'll tell you. Yeah. I'll tell myself that.
Trust me when I say I understand what your parents were going through. Like yeah. it's like we had one, we just would have one child at a time, like one person, not a bunch of kids, but like
yeah.
even one. I had one child over, and it was one of my son's little friends, and he had socks on coming down the stairs, and I said, "Take your socks off because you're gonna fall down the stairs," and he didn't, and he fell down the stairs, and I'm like, "Okay, I gotta take him to the emergency room now. Sleepover's over." No, so you don't want to be. I don't want to be responsible for other people's children.
Yeah, that doesn't
no
doesn't sound fun to me. Sending them away sounds fun, just not
yeah,
you're hurting
away.
Them here.
Don't come back.
Well, you have, and also your house is a little bit dangerous for children too, I've heard, because of because
what?
Of your cat, right?
Yeah,
what's her name?
Minnie.
He has a
mess around,
a cat that if a neighbor kid comes too close with it, scratch him.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You can just say, sorry, you can't come over. We have a cat. I'm yeah. sorry. The cat will eat your child.
Territorial.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. And she can't be yeah. stopped.
My child can come to your house, but you can't come over to ours. Save yourself some work.
So I feel like we got a good idea of your comedy background in the last one.
Yeah.
Is there anything exciting you want to talk about in your comedy career since the last podcast?
Since the last one, my album is finally out. My third album, but we recorded it in Athens, Georgia, In my hometown, and I'm just really happy because I had a lot of material about growing up in Athens, and I literally had moms in my neighborhood, you know, who knew all the stories that are on the front row, just nodding, which made it really special. But it's called Shiny Happy People Laughing, and REM gave me special permission to name it that. So
that's so cool.
That's my super exciting stuff right now, and it's out on SiriusXM, and I don't know, I don't have it in my car, but some people might.
Yeah. And were you doing, I feel like you were talking about doing like a Generations tour last time we...
Yeah.
So have you been continuing doing that?
Continue. So the Generations bit is now, it's almost an hour, the whole bit itself.
That's wild.
Because I'm writing new stuff, and as I write the new stuff that kind of applies to that, it just... I'm sandwiching it, and the sandwich is just huge now.
Yeah,
like, and,
yeah.
I even had, we were talking earlier about the kind of blowback a little bit from the Gen Zers that were upset and got their feelings
like
hurt.
This one, right?
I had something happen in the airport the other day. This kid, I found a passport just sitting on the escalator. It was just sitting there on the escalator, and I knew before I even touched it, it belonged to a man child. Like, I knew. and I'm like, first of all, I didn't know if I should touch it. I'm like, it's a real passport. And sure enough, it was like Cody Mitchell, age 18, Dallas, wow. Texas. And all I
did
could
have
hear,
like a Fortnite sticker on
it. Was,
on
it was like, I just, it was one of the new ones. And I was like, I could hear Cody's mother saying, Cody, the only thing you can't lose on this trip is your passport.
Yeah.
And, but within, the bit's kind of long to tell the whole story, but the gist is that, within 5 minutes, I had Cody's LinkedIn page. I knew where he went to college. I knew that his improv group was called Mission Improvable. I knew that he was in a band. I knew what instruments he played. They have 168 followers on Instagram. Like, so don't come at me, Gen Z. I have skills. I have techno skills. I can That's still do. Because people were saying, some of the funnier comments on that was like, I bet she can't even format a PDF, or I bet she can't change her phone to dark mode. I'm like, yeah, I can. I got.
Watch me steal your identity.
I got ninja skills. Yeah.
That's funny. Did you ever get that passport? Sorry, Jordan.
No, you go first.
Did you ever get that passport back to
Cody? No, okay. He has it back.
Very nice.
Thanks to mostly because I was worried about his mother. I was worried about the phone call that was going to come to his mom, and she was going to have to help him. But he ultimately was very nice and sent me an email and said he got it and was very appreciative. But I sent him, like, I had 15 minutes to get to my flight, and I'm like, this poor kid doesn't even know it's missing. He's just wandering around the Atlanta airport, just aimlessly, blissfully unaware,
just
eating up.
Throwing it on escalators.
eating a pretzel, just, you know. Anyway, I was pleased.
I got my phone. What do I need a passport for?
I got it back. He was happy. But how he dropped it onto the escalator and not knew it, where it was sitting, I do not know. But
that stresses me out.
Man-child.
Taylor, as an improv comedian, what do you think of that title of this improv?
Improbable?
Mission Improbable.
I feel like I've heard of it before. It's either a big deal or such a common...
Maybe it's a common one,
Lowest common denominator name that I
what was the one? What was yours called? No Quacking Matter? I mean, it was like a duck improv group.
Yeah, we were duck themed for a while. Eventually, we moved on to Goose, and...
You were Silly Gooses for a while.
Silly Gooses for a while. We did the
hopefully you'll be an eagle someday.
If you don't know about this, the improv community, there's ranks like Boy Scouts, all based off animals,
all based off birds.
Yeah. And
what's the lowest one?
Lowest one is a mole rat.
I'm not good at improv. I took a couple of classes and it was not for me. My stand-up is all truth-based stories about what happens to me.
Yeah.
And I try, you know, having to be somebody else, I just didn't work at all for me.
I feel like I wouldn't be good at it either. I've seen Taylor. Taylor's very good at it.
I admire people that do it well.
Karen, I don't think we asked you this last time. Do you have like in your years doing comedy, do you have one gig that was like your worst gig ever, or like a terrible gig that
yes.
you did?
I always wanted to do like a documentary of someone asking comics that, and I'm going to tell you my worst one or two of my worst ones, but also, I want to have a documentary where people say, "What's the worst introduction you ever had?"
Oh yeah,
you know,
that's
after
a good story.
After they announced the sad thing and who got who, whatever, and so and so got killed in the parking lot, and now comedy. But I have two worst ones. One was ironically one of my very first ones, and I started doing stand up out of a workshop. And you know how you have, you know, your graduation show. And
sure.
The bar's very low. Everybody does really well.
Yeah.
And then my first, like, real one, I went and we were at a club. It was in Portland. And I made the mistake of taking my husband. And so I took him. And I, at the time, I was doing Nick at Night's Funniest Mom stuff. And I was doing very clean, you know, mommy humor stuff. And before me were these two guys that, for some reason, there were two people that came on stage, and it wasn't improv, it was two dudes, and they were doing this sort of striptease on this woman, and it was really raunchy and really kind of gross.
Oh, no.
And then I was up next, and I'm gonna do my mommy stuff that's very clean, and then crickets, just total crickets. It was awful. I ate it, and then my husband and I were walking to the car, and my husband says, "Well, if that's what you want to do."
Oh, what a brutal sentence.
Brutal. Wow.
So, but I'm still doing it. I'm still here.
Brutal.
Yeah, that is what I want to do.
That's a brutal story.
That was bad. The other one that sticks out was Vic Henley and I were doing a corporate, and we were in Alabama. It was for the Alabama Association of Funeral Home Directors.
Okay.
Start with that.
That's a lively bunch. That's a fun bunch.
Yeah, we're like, okay. So, and I actually wrote some funeral stuff. I was kind of proud of my funeral stuff. And in the contract, we're like, okay, it says be there at 7. And, you know, Vic flew from New York. It was in Alabama. And so we were there on time at 7. The guys, no, you have to be here at 7. Well, they hadn't even started dinner. It was one of those corporate things.
Yeah.
And they got to go have their steak dinner, and they got to drink a whole lot. And then at the end of it, so on one side was this big dais of just all the people for the corporate thing. The lighting was amazing. The sound was amazing. Everything was wonderful. And then they did their thing, including who had died in their association that year. You know, let's bring it down. And then they said, okay, now for comedy. And then everyone left. And there was like four people. So Vic and I start walking over to where the light, the great sound and light system is. And they're like, oh, no, you're over here. It was a blue light. It was like a Kmart blue light.
In the embalming room.
There was no microphone. There was just an empty mic stand on the stage. And they're like, well, we don't have one for, you can use the stand, right? The whole thing was awful. Anyway,
oh, no.
But, jeez. You know, we did not kill at the Association of Funeral Home Directors.
Those morticians.
Why couldn't you
be
on the big stage?
We don't know. We wanted our check, and you know,
that's where they were displaying the best prepared bodies that they had, like, at a competition.
Well, I think they had like a thing during the day with like a little trade show room. I wanted to go to that so bad.
Yeah.
But we had to leave to go do other shows.
Wow. What an interesting group of people.
And most people left before you.
Oh, yeah. There were four people, like the guy that hired us, you know, and he and his wife and some other couple that they guilted into staying.
So. I bet if they would have stayed, I feel like they'd have to have a pretty good sense of humor to be in that profession, just to cope with being around all the...
Can you imagine? I mean, that's what I wanted. I wanted some stories. You know there's some stories.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, those were my two.
Yeah, I'm upset they all left. Whenever I do, like, company events or something, it's like a Christmas party usually. Yeah, I'm like, please do the raffle after I do my comedy, or else nobody's sticking around for
me. Or the sad video. There's always the sad. Yeah. If I do, and I do a lot of fundraisers. I do a lot of them. And I get while we're there. I know that it's sad. But I always say, you know, can you do the sad video? Or what usually I say is, are you going to show a sad video? And then they say, oh, no. And this was years ago, and it was for the American Heart Association. And the woman goes, oh, no, it's very uplifting. It's about women. And Laura Bush was first lady at the time. Uh-huh. Laura Bush is going to tell. Laura Bush's head comes on this screen. 8 bazillion women die every year of heart disease. And we're like, yeah, that was very uplifting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. And then you brought Laura Bush on the road with
on
you
tour.
Ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't her fault.
Good opener, actually.
Well, doing any of that generational stuff, have you had more people, you know, get mad at you for what you're saying? Any developments there on the old Gen Z war front?
Well, I think, you know, it now that I do things like find a passport, and now I can, those, it's, I'm now looking at the lens of writing new material with it.
Yeah.
It really has kind of become fun. And, yes. And mostly, most of my followers are my age. They, you know, my demographic doesn't care.
Sure.
So, sure. But yeah, it's, It has been a bit that went viral, and then, you know, for a bad reason, but it's turned into a good reason because people have seen me that wouldn't have seen me otherwise. So
yeah.
I'll take it.
Have you, what generation thinks takes jokes the worst? Gen Z, millennial, baby boomer.
Wait, which one's the worst?
Which one takes a joke the worst?
Oh.
What would you say?
So we have Gen Z, millennial.
Gen Alpha. Let's throw them in the mix, in the
they're
pot,
babies.
Too.
They're babies.
They're getting up there now, 2010. So they're 14.
They're babies.
Gen Alpha, some of them can't talk yet, so they're not very good at taking jokes. Blank stares from those Gen Alpha shows I've been doing.
They're all watching Miss Rachel. Have y'all seen Miss Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, good Lord.
Somebody was watching it here one day.
Miss Rachel? What is
this? Yeah. We were here recording a podcast, and when they were showing Miss Rachel out here.
Is it a kid show?
It's for toddlers.
Yeah.
She's like, overalls on, Miss Rachel. And then she'll say the word four times, milk. And then she does the hand gesture for signing.
Uh-huh.
Milk.
Yeah.
Milk.
Can you say it?
And so I want to do one for seniors. And it's like, margarita. Like, I want to do a whole thing for seniors.
Yes.
But so yeah. I think that's Gen Alpha. They're going to grow up with Miss Rachel.
Okay.
What did y'all grow up with? Like, my kids had Teletubbies and... You know, about the annoying TV shows that we all grew up with.
Yeah, I grew up, I think I was just watching, I mean, there was Sesame Street growing up, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mostly was watching, like, Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they taught many life lessons.
But they were awesome.
Don't go in the sewer. That's
don't go in the sewer. Well, yeah. It actually made me want to go, because that's where the turtles are.
They live there.
My favorite show actually was probably Mr. Rogers. I was seeing Mr. Rogers reruns. Yeah. I was watching a lot of that.
I watched Mr. Rogers. He was a good one.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't think anyone is saying... Mr. Rogers, what a scumbag.
That guy. I do have a bit where I make fun of Lady Elaine Fairchild now, and I get people get upset with me.
Is that?
She lived in the museum go-round.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of has like a red nose, and I say, you know, she was scary. She also clearly was knocking back a whole lot of beef eater gin martinis. Because where else do you come up with boomerang, sumerang, tumerang? And so... But people get upset with that bit because people like me. Because what a beloved man. And he truly was a sweet man. But so I make fun of her. People
Lady
don't
Fairchild
like
is
was
off
she one of the puppets?
She was one of the puppets.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I was really trying to picture.
And he, you know, he voices all of them.
Uh-huh.
So I go into the bit by saying, you know, it just she just sounded just like Mr. Rogers using a high lady voice.
Yeah. Wow.
I forget about the whole world. So there was a guy with a crown. There was a king of that land?
King Friday.
Oh, King Friday.
Yeah, so I truly grew up. When I started watching Mr. Rogers, it was in black and white. So that's how old I am.
Wow.
We had to watch Mr. Green Jeans in black and white.
Just had to take his word for it.
It made no sense.
We're like, they say it's green and we don't believe it. Did y'all have Captain Kangaroo? Did y'all have that?
I know of it, but I don't think I watched it.
That's Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Mr. Green Jeans.
Oh.
We have grayish jeans.
Yeah, it was all. He wasn't even wearing green jeans.
But Sesame Street. I grew up with Sesame Street too.
You know,
it was formative years of, you know, and where I grew up, you don't see a lot of people of diverse races interacting, and Sesame Street for me was really important for that. Very, very helpful for that.
Was there a movie or show that you saw early on that really made an impression on you? Maybe that you probably shouldn't have seen.
Well, I do have my bit now about seeing Jaws.
Yes.
Jaws was PG, and I saw it when I was 11. And it just
wrecked
still...
you, huh?
Oh, yeah. Just sort of trauma triggers these days.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of the movies. We all... clearly, back then, we had to go to the movies.
Right.
Start with that. You had to buy a ticket and go to the movie theater. So we had a lot of Disney movies. We had... I remember one time there was a movie called Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
That one?
Yeah, that's
seen
a,
so
that.
I
a
was
wild
allowed,
trip of a movie, that one.
For my birthday, my mom said, you can invite some friends and we'll go to the... we'll see this movie. And so she said, call up these people. You know, you can call them up. In Athens, Georgia, we had three movie theaters. There was the Palace Theater. There was Beechwood Cinemas where I saw Jaws, and still there. And then there's one called the Paris Theater, which was... the triple X-rated theater.
Oh, wow.
And I called my friends up, and my mom said, you can invite them. And so I told, like, I called my friend, and I'd say, hey, I'm having a birthday party. We're going to see Bedknobs and Broomsticks. We're going to the Paris Theater.
No. Oh, my God.
And my mom got some phone calls.
Yeah, jeez. So I want to make that mistake.
I'm trying to think of the one movie as a child, you know. Star Wars, I was 12. So.
Yeah. I feel like Bambi had a lot of people were scarred by Bambi. Yeah. The beginning of Bambi, that's kind of one. I saw Pee-wee's Playhouse, and that one really freaked me out.
Why? I love that movie.
I just could sense there was something off. You know? I didn't trust all this. You know,
large,
like, if you sit on a couch, it's probably best it's not like, you know, it can move or
gonna
talk.
Eat you.
Right.
I remember I was probably in elementary school, and The Iron Giant just came out. Remember that cartoon movie?
Yeah.
And my friend's dad was like, hey, I'm going to take you to the movies. And we went to the theater, but that was all sold out.
Oh.
And so he's like, well, just go see this one instead. And it was The Haunting. I had never seen a scary movie
before. The Haunting?
Yeah, it's a remake of an older horror movie. It had like Liam Neeson. And we were the only two in the theater, and it wrecked me for a long time. I'd never seen a scary movie before.
Your friend's dad said, that sold out, go to see The Haunting.
Yeah,
instead.
He bought a ticket for that. Like, it was like, yeah, he'll be fine.
That's funny.
It's totally okay.
The whole time.
Okay. We went to see Animal House pretty early. I was like 15. It wasn't like I was a child, but I remember you had to be 17 to get in to see it. So my friend's sister just yelled from the car, they're okay.
All right. Good.
They're okay. But that was a Jaws thing. And the whole bit about I have now about Jaws is we went in there by ourselves. You know, my mom said, oh, it's PG. I'm sure it's fine. I didn't even know what it was about. My friend Margie said, what is it about? I'm like, I don't know. Something about going to the beach. We're here.
Yeah.
I like the beach.
Yeah, the beach sounds fun. But yeah, to this day, that scene where Richard Dreyfuss is under the boat and the guy's head flies out of there, still.
Yeah.
Still.
Tough to revisit.
No. Trauma. Yeah,
okay, I want to change one of my answers.
Sure.
For shows I watched when I was a kid. So I realized there was one, something was missing. I just realized what it was. I watched Barney all the time.
I could see that.
A lot of Barney. That show is nuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's just a talking dinosaur, and he has... do you remember his bag?
No, I don't. I never really watched it.
Did you ever?
Well, I watched it with my kids, like, so. But I tried to get them off Barney. Like, I'm like, watch The Wiggles. The Wiggles are better. So, anyway.
Oh, The Wiggles are better.
But I don't remember the bag.
He would pull out a bag. It was a magic bag that just, like, it was never ending. He could pull stuff out of it forever. This Tyrannosaurus Rex we're talking about.
Yeah.
Had a magic bag. And they had this, there'd always be an episode somebody took a cookie from the cookie jar. And they would do that song. Who took the cookie from the cookie jar? And it gave me anxiety, actually.
Triggers.
I was like, I will never take a cookie from the cookie jar. I don't need a whole song and dance production.
That. Yeah.
Did y'all watch Teletubbies? Was that too?
That was a little bit at the end, but I remember when that started, and I was like, I don't connect with this at all.
No,
it's bizarre.
Because I had my kids close in age, and my son was like 2, and my daughter was newborn, no, maybe a little bit older. And my husband had surgery, ruptured his quadriceps. So he's in the bedroom, like post surgery. I got a newborn, and I got a 2-year-old. And that's when I taught my older one how to work the VCR. Because I'm like, you're on your own, dude. You're 2. I don't, you know. So, but we had the Teletubbies VCR, we had the tape.
So you had to see the same episodes over and over again.
A lot, anyway.
And they wouldn't even, if I remember right, the son was a baby.
And now the son, now the baby son is like 30 and she's got her own baby. So that's like a big deal. So.
There's two sons?
No.
No. Oh, they've passed the torch.
Yeah, the so the real person in life whose face was the baby.
Oh, I see.
In real life, she's now 30 and has her own kids.
I was picturing two sons like Tatooine in the background of Teletubbies.
The French horns, Luke Skywalker French horn section.
Yeah, they have a Gen Alpha son now.
I think any show where there's a human in a costume, you know, like a children's show, the last episode should just be them taking off their masks.
Everybody's like,
ruining it. All these kids are crying.
Who is that? No, that's not.
There was one my kids called. It was called Zaboomafoo.
Oh, Zaboomafoo. Yes, I watched that one.
The Kratt Brothers. That was, I kind of like, they were kind of cute. The Kratt Brothers.
The Kratt Brothers?
Crack Brothers.
I was like, did the Crack Brothers create a lot of these shows?
There's a little thing that jumps around. They're on the cracks.
Yeah, he was a lemur?
Lemur, he's a lemur.
Yeah, yes, but, I've seen that. Yeah.
And there was some footage of real lemur sometimes. Then it'd be a puppet that they were holding.
And we, my son got a, one of the puppets for Christmas.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's good. We still have it.
What's your hottest take right now?
Oh, good point, Karen.
I think my hottest take, because it just happened, is Disney adults. I'm fascinated by Disney adults because I just went to Disneyland. And the last time I'd been to Disneyland, well, to Disney World, my youngest was 8. And we were just out in California, so we went to Disneyland. He's now 22. And so we're in the parking lot. We're watching, you know, all these parents load up their stuff. And they look like, you know, that scene in Saving Private Ryan where they're on the boats coming into the beach and they're all smoking.
Yes, yeah.
And they're getting ready to storm the beach. And this, all these parents are looking like that. And then you have the Disney adults that don't have kids with them that are dressed up in their costumes and they've got little Ratatouille things on their shoulder and they're just the happiest people. So we're making fun of them as we go in. We're like, there's another way. We did a bingo card of Disney adults. And so then we went to, because we're Star Wars nerds, huge Star Wars nerds, we went to Galaxy's Edge and spent 6 hours there and rode all the rides there and made our own. We went to the little thing, interactive thing where you make your own lightsaber.
Whoa, what does yours look like?
Oh, it was, it's, it, I got a sort of an original one.
Okay.
Because I'm old school.
What color is your saber,
blue,
though?
Blue. Yeah, I'm OG. Cool. I'm OG Star
Wars. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have, I still have my 26 movie stubs that I watched it 26 times in the movie theater when it first came out.
That's cool.
So anyway, we come back and we've got our stuff and we got in the car and we're like, okay, I guess we are Disney adults. I guess it's us. We can't make fun of them anymore.
That's fun, man.
I like that take. We're all actually secretly Disney adults at heart. We just need the right the right zone.
Yeah, you have the right people with you. Yeah. I mean, it's much more fun when your child is older and you can make fun of people together. We had a great day. It was fun.
Yeah.
Did you walk out with Mickey ears? Were you wearing Mickey ears all the way out?
No, I'm not an ears person. So that's how we justify the fact that we really aren't Disney adults, because we're Star Wars adults.
You didn't buy a hat. So
I got a pin.
If Disney buys enough products or IPs, we're all going to be Disney adults. They'll own it all.
That's true. You won't even know.
That's really funny.
It's hard not. I mean, I love Disney. And I go there. It's hard not to buy into the whole thing. You're just immersed, and before you know it, you're just like walking around with goofy ears,
eating a big old turkey leg.
You're a turkey leg guy, aren't you? Yeah, I used to really love turkey legs. Yeah,
they're kind of a lot.
Yeah,
the Renaissance Fair thing.
Well, they have them at Disneyland too. There's these giants. You can just buy these huge
turkey legs.
We didn't leave Star Wars Land, so we got the blue milk.
Oh yeah,
okay. One of the weird things that happened when I was at Disney World, there were all these birds. So I was eating a turkey leg, and there were all these like sort of stork-like birds, ibis-looking birds that were just trying to get that turkey. And it was really twisted. It felt really wrong. They just really...
But they're real birds. You're like, not animatronic
birds. No, these were real birds, and they would look at you, and they would be drooling.
Ew, nice.
Jeez, it just seemed a little messy. Added a little, a darker childhood. Underside. This isn't childhood. This is like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still scarred.
You're right.
A little sorry. Yeah, I'm working through it. But that's a good hot take. So your hot take is...
that Disney adults are actually cool.
Or that we're all Disney adults.
We're all Disney adults, yeah.
Deep down.
Particularly that's, Star Wars adults.
Yeah.
So, that's great. Yeah. Good. Well, going back to the Generation Alpha and Gen Z stuff, I want to help to bridge the gap. This conflict is hard to see. As a cusp Gen Zer, I was born in 1997, so I'm the first Gen Z of the group.
Yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah, I'm the leader, technically. I'm the leader. I want to try and bridge the gap. I want to see if you guys can understand some Gen Z and Gen Alpha slang.
I would like to do this.
Okay. I've got some things pulled up. A lot of these I had to learn myself because I am kind of a fake Gen Z.
Because you're an elder Gen Zer, is
yes.
that why?
Uh-huh. Okay. The first one is a pretty common one we've heard before.
Okay.
Riz.
Now we know. I actually know what Riz is. So I won't say anything right now until you know.
Riz. Not a clue.
Well, if you had to guess.
Can I guess? Yes. Riz. Riz.
I'll use it in a sentence.
Okay. Use it. Helpful. Yes.
That guy over. Oh, you see that guy over there? He's got Riz. He's got the Riz.
Does that mean? Does he have moxie? Is that like he's like cool?
Oh.
Riz. Yeah. Yes. Riz. Short for charisma.
Charisma. Oh, okay. Get the middle of the word. Moxie. That moxie okay. is right on. Right on.
It's the ability to attract.
The Riz. Know, I'm going to use it today.
Riz. That's one that I've learned and I do use it now.
And so you have some variations of that word. The Rizzler is someone who has the Riz.
Is that true?
Yes.
He has
the Rizzler.
The Rizzler?
The Rizzler. The Rizzler.
I'm super excited about this new word I have.
You see me eating a steak, I'm the Rizzler at Sizzler, dude.
Perfect. Man, you're getting younger by the second, Jordan. Getting younger by the second. Okay, next, another pretty common one. We've got sus.
A suspect.
Yeah.
Suspect.
I know that because I played Among Us with my nieces. And they're like, you're sus. Yeah. I'm like, I know that.
Mike could use that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, we got that one. All right, let's see which one's the next least obscure. Okay, how about looks maxing?
Looks maxing?
Looks maxing.
Can you use it in a sentence?
These influencers are looks maxing.
Like, it's a one word. Is it hyphenated?
No, it's all one word.
Okay.
Looks maxing. Looks and then maxing.
I'm going to get roasted
online because they're going to tell I don't know how to use these words in sentences.
I have no idea. Looks maxing. Looks maxing.
Yeah, do one more sentence for us.
Okay. This guy doesn't look that good. Naturally, he's looks maxing.
You're maxing your looks, like you're
yeah, wearing a lot of makeup,
or maybe you're like using a filter.
Filter, yeah.
Basically, it's any self-enhancement program that makes you look better, but not like naturally. So it could be cosmetic surgery. It could be something the angle you're holding your phone, something to do with your face. These next two are related. This is mewing.
Like a cat?
Mewing.
Can you spell it for
mewing,
us?
Mewing.
Okay, that's how I thought.
Mewing. Like you're fawning mewing. Over somebody?
This is a technique to look for looks maxing. A primary looks maxing technique is mewing.
Maybe when you're holding the camera up, you're like doing like a duck face.
Duck face is really close.
Yeah. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like when I look in the mirror and I only want to see myself in like the perfect.
You just go mew. You know? Mew. Okay.
It's pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
It's when you put your tongue to the roof of your mouth in order to make your chin stick out like.
Does that do anything?
This is why I'm so happy we didn't have cell phones. Oh my God.
I know. This is a level of self-awareness that is not healthy.
No, it's not. It's, oh my God. No.
Okay.
I don't feel like mine does anything.
Wait, let me mew.
Yeah. Mewing.
Mew, 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 mew.
Okay. Next up. All right. His routine of looks maxing and mewing was fake at first, but eventually resulted in him straight mogging.
Mogging is the word.
Mogging. Did I not say mogging first?
Mogging.
You didn't say mogging.
Okay.
You
just
went,
you went straight into the sentence.
Mogging.
Mogging.
Yes.
Mogging.
Mogging. Like you're, well, if it's fake at first, now it's part of his character. I don't know.
Yeah. Just,
mogging. Or is it like mugging? Like mugging for the camera?
Mogging. Can you do a different sentence?
Can you use a different sentence?
The Rizzler be mogging.
The Rizzler be mogging at Sizzler.
I think it's just like mugging.
Yeah, it's
mugging.
It's
just as in...
You know, you mug for the camera. Mugging is a word. That's... It's an elderly
word. we've gotten full circle. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so mogging refers to being just more physically attractive than others. And it's sort of the result of looks maxing. So after you've done all these things, you're looks maxing,
you become mogging.
So you're mogging. Yeah.
You stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth long enough.
Which is called?
It's facelift.
Mewing.
Mewing, yes. Results in overarching mogging.
Yeah.
Okay. And lastly.
Oh, man, I want more. Okay.
This is skibbity.
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 Skibbity sounds like sketchy or not trustworthy.
A little skibbity over
not
there.
Not trustworthy.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes.
And don't say this looks max and be skibbity. I don't understand.
Broski thinks he's the Rizzler.
Because he's skibbity.
But he skibbity no cap.
Skibbity. Well, cap's another. Were you introducing cap to this too?
Skibbity means like poser. Faker.
Skibbity, totally honest, I don't know what it really is. But what I've gathered is it's sort of like a nonsense word. Like, it's gibberish, but it has a negative connotation.
Okay.
So something skibbity toilet is like trash.
Yeah.
So if something skibbity toilet, it's like trash.
So I kind of had it right.
It's
not, okay. Not okay.
Sketchy.
It sounds also like a jazz word. Skibbity.
Yeah.
What do they call that when the jazz people
scatting,
like
right?
Scatting. Skibbity, skibbity.
Do you know cap?
No.
Capping, if you're capping or not?
That means good.
I know what it is.
Capping, yeah.
What does that mean? That means you're going to kill somebody.
that's a cap?
No, that's
a lot of overlap. Yeah.
How I could use cap. This podcast has been great, no cap.
No cap. So what is... what that means.
No joke? Like, no... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, if you're capping, you're lying. So you usually say, no cap.
Okay.
That right?
I'm not lying.
Do you think that comes from, like, bald people wearing a baseball cap? To lie about their hairline? That might be it. okay. Well, I think to sign off of this podcast, it's been a lot of fun. Can you guys sum things up? With some Gen Z, Gen Alpha slang?
Yeah. I would just like to say, as far as Rizzler who looks maxes, I skibbity cap, and I, moxie. And
you lost it. It was pretty promising at the beginning. That's pretty promising. Okay, what do you got for us?
I think you guys are the Rizzlers, and I was gonna try mewing today, but that's too skibbity.
Yeah.
No cap.
No cap.
Wow, you crushed it, Karen. That's fantastic.
Well, Karen, we can't top that. Is there anything else you want to plug to the audience before we get out of here?
Oh, just me. I'm going to plug myself. No, it's just KarenMorgan.com. And I'm so appreciative of the Dry Bar audiences and the Dry Bar followers and everybody in the Dry Bar community. I continue to say they give back. My demographic that has found me because of Dry Bar is amazing. And I'm just, I'm so appreciative of the people that have found me through Dry Bar and follow me. And I'm having a good time. I want to come back and do another one.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It'll happen for sure.
Yeah, I think so. We want you back for sure.
Yay.
I have no power here, but I'd love to have you do another special.
He's being modest. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. As usual, this is the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Make sure to watch Karen's specials and follow her as well. And
thanks for being here in person this time. This was fantastic.
It was no cap.
We need to get to that mall before it closes.
Yeah, we gotta go. Orc Day. Oh, follow us.
Okay. All right, and we will see you next week. Yay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.